The text for our morning service is 1 Peter 3, verse 15. Let's read that verse again. It says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." Maybe I can read that text one more time, this time with the footnote. In my translation, I have a footnote that would put it like this: "But sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts." That's the translation I'll be following. After the proclamation of God's word, let's sing number 399 in response. Brothers and sisters, loved by our Lord Jesus Christ, everyone knows what it's like to be nervous. Whether it's public speaking or maybe those times you have to pray out loud in front of other people, you know what it's like to be nervous. There is something about being in front of people and the possibility that you would make a blunder that leaves you feeling extremely vulnerable. So we open our passage this morning, and we're reading what the Lord writes to a people who are afraid. They're afraid for their lives, but they're nervous at times of giving a testimony to the Lord, of speaking of the faith that the Lord has worked in their hearts. What's the Lord's words to people who are afraid? Well, let's look at our text then. We'll look at these words: sanctify the Lord as Christ. Sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts. And that's how I've summarized the sermon. I've given it this theme: set apart Christ as Lord. And we'll look at 2 points. That it's a matter of the heart, first of all. And secondly, that it's a matter of the lips. So set apart Christ as Lord. This is a matter of the heart. The New King James Version says, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. But I've drawn your attention to the fact of that footnote that the name Christ is missing. In the original language, it would say, sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts. Sanctify Christ as Lord. So that's one challenge, the fact that the name Christ has dropped out of the translation. The other challenge is what does it mean? When you come across the word sanctify, and right away, that's not a dinner time conversation. That's not a word that you use ordinarily in life. It's a Bible word. And if you've been in church for some time or attended catechism classes, you'll have heard the word sanctification or sanctify. And you'll remember, even with a slight reminder, that it has to do with being made holy. God is making us holy. That's sanctification. If you were to open 1 Peter to the very first words, this whole letter starts with, to the pilgrims, and then he lists all these places, to the pilgrims, the elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Then he gets into the meat of the letter. The word sanctification is there. That's where we are sanctified. We are the ones being operated on, being made holy. So when we read our text, 1 Peter 3, verse 15, we're into new territory. It says we have to sanctify Christ as Lord. It's saying that there is a way that Christ is not being set apart as holy. Christ is being treated as ordinary, as unholy. And so our text is saying, watch out. Christ is Lord of the universe. Verse 22 is going to say that. Christ is ruling heaven and earth and all the authorities and powers. But in one place, Christ still needs to be sanctified. There's one place where Christ needs to be set apart. Where? It's in our hearts. There's a holdout. There's a resistance in our hearts to setting apart Christ to his rightful position. So you're wondering, is this letter meant for us? Because this is something you could expect to address an unbeliever about. You know, an unbeliever needs to set apart Christ as Lord. Are you sure this is meant for believers? Sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts. Actually, I read that first opening line of 1 Peter, and it says there, to the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, and all those places, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father in sanctification of the Spirit for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. You get a sense right away that this is heavy material. This is not some little evangelism pamphlet that you hand out for somebody who's coming to the faith. There's deep theology, there's election, there's sanctification, there's washing by the blood. All of that has to be explained. So this letter is definitely meant for believers. So the words of 1 Peter 3, verse 15, sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, is meant for us. That's the starting point. It's meant for believers. There is a way that believers have an unfinished task. Each of us needs to do this more and more. And so to put it in simple English, we are being told to set apart Christ as Lord in our hearts. Set apart Christ as Lord in our hearts. Now, let's try to imagine what our text is saying. Imagine with me for a moment that your heart is a three-dimensional space. Your heart is a room. Say it's a room of a house. And picture everything that goes on in your heart as something that's going on in a room. What are the things that you think about? Well, they fill up the room of your heart. The things that you hope for, the things that you love, they are like pieces of furniture. They move through your room. There's also other things in your room, things that are on your mind, the things that you're concerned about, the things that worry you. Now, because you are a believer, Peter assumes that part. He's writing to believers. Somewhere in that room of your heart, you have Jesus Christ. You think of him too at times, so he takes up place in that room. The question is, where is Jesus Christ in the room of your heart? Is he in some obscure corner? If you're imagining this room for a moment, somewhere in that room there is a special seat. Somewhere there is a seat that overlooks everything that's going on. This is a position that we're used to. You're the one thinking, you're the one judging of what's going on in your life, all the things you think about. And in that special seat, you can overlook everything. It's like the balcony position of your heart. Our text says, set apart Christ as Lord in your heart. That means give up the throne. Give up that balcony position in the room of your heart so that Jesus Christ would rule over everything that's going on in your mind. As long as you sit on the throne of your heart, you are doing the same thing that Adam and Eve did in the Garden of Eden. They wanted that throne. And that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, it offered that throne seat to them. It promised Adam and Eve to be the king or the queen of their hearts. that tree of the knowledge of good and evil offered Adam and Eve that balcony position in the room of their hearts where they get to decide what they like and what they don't like, what's good for them, what's not good for them. It set apart Adam as Lord. That's the promise, anyway, that that tree offered. It set apart Eve as Lord. It gave them that special seat. So the message of our text is this. Get off of that seat. Get out of that chair that the Lord has designed for Himself. And set apart Christ as Lord. In verse 8, where we began reading this morning, verse 8, the Apostle Peter wrote about doing good even if we should suffer for it. Suffering is on the minds of the readers of that letter. And the response is, set apart Christ as Lord of your hearts. Don't let fear fill that room. And it's this aspect of fear that's the immediate reason for having the command to set apart Christ as Lord. Maybe in your Bibles you have a footnote for verse 14, the one just before our text. There's a footnote, and it mentions that it's a quote from Isaiah 8. It's saying, "And do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled." Please take your Bibles and look up Isaiah 8 for a moment. Isaiah chapter 8. See, this is Isaiah's prophecy to a people that's very much in the same position. They're also troubled with fear. In the case of Isaiah 8, it's about the Israelites who have this huge army of Assyrians that have come up against them to attack them. And seeing that huge number of Assyrians, and knowing how cruel they were, the Israelites were afraid. Naturally, they were afraid. Verse 11, Isaiah 8, verse 11 says this, "For the Lord spoke thus to me with a strong hand and instructed me that I should not walk in the way of this people, saying, do not say a conspiracy concerning all that this people call a conspiracy, nor be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. The Lord of hosts, Him you shall hallow. Let Him be your fear, and let Him be your dread." Keep your Bibles open here a minute. The Lord said to His prophet Isaiah, do not be afraid of their threats. Do not be afraid of what they're afraid of. This prophet of the Lord was to be different from all the people. He wasn't supposed to let his heart rate climb. He wasn't supposed to get sweaty palms and get all nervous and toss and turn all night. The Lord of hosts, it says in verse 13, Him you shall hallow. Here it is, congregation. The words of our text, it's in the word hallow. That's the word holy or sanctify of our 1 Peter 3 passage. But because of the translation that the Apostle Peter is using of the Old Testament, this might be hidden from us. But Isaiah 8, Isaiah is basically told, sanctify God as Lord. Set apart God as Lord in your heart. Give Him that position that overlooks everything that's going on in your heart. So Peter almost exactly quotes from Isaiah. He's only made one change. Instead of saying set apart God as Lord, he's been more specific and he's saying set apart Christ as Lord. And now, since we have Isaiah 8 open, let's use it to help us understand what he means by that. If everything else has been a direct quote, we can see how this is moving. He's first dealing with the context of fear. Then he's saying, set apart Christ as Lord, or set apart God as Lord in the Old Testament. And then he's going to say, see, this is how. That's where we get verse 12. The Lord of hosts, him you shall hallow, set him apart. Let him be your fear. Let him be your dread. The Lord is saying to Isaiah that the way to set him apart as Lord is to fear him. This should help us read 1 Peter 3, verse 15, our text this morning. It says there, set apart Christ as Lord of your heart. How do we do that? Fear the Lord. There's that Old Testament expression. It's just loaded. Fear the Lord more than anything else that you fear. And it includes terror, but never a terror that makes you run from the Lord. It's a terror and a dread, but it's a holy fear that makes you run to the Lord as a refuge, a shelter. So the lesson from Isaiah in how to read our passage is that set apart Jesus Christ as Lord of your heart means fear Jesus Christ. Set him apart and fear him. Revere him. Have some great respect. Revere him. Have some awe for him. It means get up out of the throne of your heart and let Jesus Christ have that one seat in the room of your heart. That's the only way that all the other things that are going on in your mind can have their proper place. You see, the only reason that a believer feels afraid is that Jesus Christ is not set apart. The only reason you feel afraid at times, maybe you're thinking about what's coming up in the new year, the only reason you have moments of anxiety and concern is because in the room of your heart, Jesus Christ is only given a wee corner to take care of. A few things he can have control of. Brothers and sisters, this is not an easy message for us to hear because it reminds us of how often we have these feelings of anxiety or concern. We fear often. Fear of people. Fear of their gossip. And we can think of things outside of our relationships immediately. We can think of disaster. We can think of economic disaster. We could think of persecution. But close to home, you could fear loss of your health. And you could fear the day that you might become useless in your own eyes. And even if you don't fear these things, no doubt you would be thinking of your children or your grandchildren, and that would bring up some levels of anxiety for you. Which way are they going? So our text is calling us to have faith, brothers and sisters, the faith that sets apart Jesus Christ as Lord of our heart so that fears get put in their proper place. 1 Peter 3, verse 22, the very last words of the chapter, reminds us that Jesus Christ is no weakling. He overcame death, and he is now at heaven. He's in heaven at God's right hand, and he has angels and authorities and powers and every kind of a ruler in submission to him. That's what verse 22 says. The angels, authorities, and powers, they submit to him, yet in the room of our hearts, we partition off a little section. We have kind of a railing around it, and we say, okay, Jesus Christ, you can take care of this area of my life. Yeah, it's got religion. Yeah, you can take care of that. It's odd how much we consider ourselves capable of controlling our hearts, our lives. And yet, that's the very reason fears arise. It's because we are inadequate for the job. Christ alone should be set apart as Lord. To illustrate this, there's an example in the scriptures that comes to life for me. Deuteronomy 32, verse 11, shows a picture of God's character. He tells us, this is who I am. And the Lord compares himself to an eagle. And he compares his people to baby eagles, eaglets. And you can understand what an eagle, a little baby eagle, would feel if it falls from a nest high up on a cliff. The baby eagle would flap, would panic, would flutter as it falls to the ground. It fears for its life. You can understand the fear of a baby eagle, right? Now, in Deuteronomy 32, the Lord compares himself to a mother or the father eagle that stirs up the nest. That means the Lord pushes the young birds out of the nest so that they fall. But then it says, but he hovers over his young. He spreads his wings to catch them and carries them on his pinions. Isn't this what we are called to do? To realize that the uncertainty of our lives, everything that makes us afraid, all of those things have been provided by God. He sends an earthquake and people suddenly are terrified and they realize how vulnerable they are. Many cry out to God in moments of great terror. God sends troubles on purpose. Just as a mother eagle stirs up its nest and has a little young one fall out so that that little young one would learn how to fly. The Lord wants his people to set apart Christ as Lord. If I was a baby eagle falling from a nest, it would make a huge difference if I knew my mother had given me the shove out of the nest. Knowing she had shoved me out would make all the difference, because suddenly I would know that she was watching, that she was in control. She would be right there the whole time, and she would be hovering over, ready to scoop me up just before I would hit the ground. That's how eagles do it. If I knew she shoved me out, I'd probably have fun, actually. As I'm tumbling through the sky, knowing that the mother would catch me, I would try all sorts of maneuvers. I'd have fun because I could be confident in my mother. Brothers and sisters, God's people experience fear because we don't see Jesus Christ the way he truly is. We don't have him set apart the way he truly is. You know, in a sense, we can imagine him as Lord of heaven and earth. That's all great. But we have a hard time imagining him in control of the things in our heart. So let me summarize my first point. Jesus Christ teaches us to pray, "Hallowed be your name." It means set apart the Lord's name in your heart. Let this be our constant prayer then, that we exalt Jesus Christ. We set him apart to an exalted position, his rightful position, and let him be in charge. That's why we pray, "Hallowed be your name." For my second point now, we're at our second point. I'd like to go to the next words of our text, which draws attention to the matter of the lips. Brothers and sisters, what goes on in the heart shows up on the outside. The Lord Jesus had said that in Luke 6, verse 45, the good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and the evil man brings evil out of the evil stored up in his heart. For out of the overflow of his heart, the mouth speaks. Our hearts don't hide everything. Whatever is most on our hearts, most in our hearts, shows up in our words and in our actions. Our text says, sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. And if you compare your hearts to a room where all your thoughts are, including all your fears and desires, you should notice that the Lord has placed a certain hope in that heart of yours. If Christ is being set apart as Lord, then you have hope for the future. If there's hope, then there's praise. Things start to bubble up. They show. They come onto the surface. If there's hope that is going on in your heart, there is praise. 1 Peter 1 goes into a song of praise. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope. Opening words are about living hope. And if there's living hope, there's praise. If there's living hope, it gets noticed in praise, but also in a lifestyle of praise, a thank-offering lifestyle. For those Christians that Peter was writing to, their lifestyle choices would become noticed. There was no doubt that they were believers. In chapter 4, verse 4 says, the Gentiles think it's strange that they, the believers, don't run with them into the same flood of dissipation. The Christians who set apart Christ as Lord in their hearts, who have that hope in their hearts, they don't join in with the world in all kinds of lewdness and lusts. Chapter 4, verse 4 mentions drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. And there's this result that the non-Christians speak evil of them. Now, for some people this morning, it would be important to leave it just at the first point of the sermon, that Christ needs to be set apart as Lord in your hearts so that it would start to bubble up in the from the surface. It would be noticeable that you have hope. But we should move on. We should see the point of our text that those who set apart Christ as Lord will be noticed. They will be confronted at times. Why do you have such hope? Why do you have such hope that makes you live differently from the world? Why do you have such hope that in the hospital you share your confidence with the nurses that you belong to Jesus Christ? So that's the reason you are patient. That's why you're kind. Do you want them to think it's just a personality thing? You just happen to have an upbeat personality? Or do you want them to know Jesus Christ? Why do you have such hope that you aren't terrified of the global economic uncertainty, the situation that we live in? Why do you have such hope that you're not stockpiling bars of gold and all kinds of canned goods, filling your bunkers? Are you always ready to give an answer for the hope that you have, an answer that credits the Lord? An answer that shows, you know, it's because the Lord has me in His care that makes all the difference. That's why I can live as I do. Our text calls us to careful study. It says, always be ready to give a defense. Always be ready. This is the point of studying, not just in school or catechism class, but your whole life. It goes back to the fact that setting apart Christ as Lord in your heart is not a one-time decision. It's a lifetime process that we're learning. So how are you preparing? How are you getting ready to give an answer, to give a defense? Because preparing means more than memorizing a one-size-fits-all answer. You are preparing for the unforeseen. There will be questions coming from anyone, from everyone. That's what our text says. Always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you. This can be challenging, both to give an answer to the people you know and to the people you don't know. If it's people you know, they have expectations from you, how you'll behave, how you'll answer. It may be especially difficult if the people you know are from church and they're used to how you behave. And now when you want to set apart Christ as Lord and you're trying to set apart Christ as Lord more and more, they're going to ask, hey, what's up with you? And there you have an opportunity. Are you ready for that opportunity to give a defense for the hope that you have? It's not easy doing it for the people you know, your family, your friends, because they'll know right away whether it's a book answer that you're giving them. So you prepare. When you stop hanging around your usual friends because of their sinful activities, how are you going to respond to that text message that says, "Where are you tonight?" Are you prepared to give glory to the Lord that your lifestyle, your behavior is not just a personal preference? Are you prepared to say, I have to answer to my Lord Jesus Christ? He's bought me with His precious blood. Giving reasons for the hope that you have might be the most difficult because you have those closest relationships to lose. You understand why this letter has begun with fear. Every one of us lives with fear. Fear of losing relationships is one of them. But what about those relationships that aren't so familiar to us? Let's say with people who don't know the Lord. Are you ready to give reasons for the hope that is in you when for the first times ever you're trying to set apart Christ as Lord in the workplace, and so you fold your hands and you pray, and you ask the Lord for a blessing on your food. You're doing that for the first time. Are you ready to give a reason for the hope that the Lord has put in you? This is the way of faith, brothers and sisters. It's not the easy way. It's very much like the Lord wants you to grow, like a little baby eagle has to grow, has to learn how to fly. It's like you're being pushed out of your nest every time you are nervous. And you are tumbling. You're afraid you won't get the words out right. And you fear for what people will think, what they'll say behind your back. And this is when you have to look up and you have to see the Lord. This is when you have to think, isn't He the one who pushed me out of the nest? And isn't He the one who can dive faster than I can fall to rescue me? The point is, set apart Christ as Lord and He will bear you up. He will catch you. He will give you what you need to endure it. There's a lot more in our text, brothers and sisters, especially once you get into the matter of how to speak with meekness and fear. Verse 15, it's about gentleness and respect. But we'll have to leave that for some other day. I hope you see the message of our text this morning. Set apart Christ as Lord in your hearts. And you can tell that this is clearly for God's glory, that He would be praised and honored. The goal is clearly God's glory, that whether someone hears the reason for the hope that's in you and he turns to the Lord, or whether they hear the reason for the hope that's in you and they don't turn to the Lord. Either way, the Lord gets the glory in this. The Lord sets up these situations in your lives. He sets them up deliberately so that His name would be lifted up. This is the point, that we would set apart Jesus Christ as Lord. God would get the glory from a life that's changed and filled with devotion for Him. And God would get the glory also from the people that we speak to about the hope that He has placed in our hearts. Amen.